In some cultures, offending a revered prophet is a sure way to lose your head. But no one complains if Jesus' name is reviled. Through lies and distortions, the Son of God is being repackaged. Whether in the Da Vinci Code or in the Jesus Seminar, a new Jesus is emerging, one that bears scant resemblance to the Jesus of the New Testament. Today, Erwin Lutzer's answer begins. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. As Easter approaches, we're beginning a series of talks with Erwin Lutzer on a major irony of our day, an irony he's written about in a new book called Slandering Jesus. Later we'll see that modern lie number one is that the bones of Jesus have been found. Not long ago, British schoolteacher Gillian Gibbons was arrested at the Unity High School in Khartoum, Sudan, for insulting Islam. Her crime? Allowing her young students to name a teddy bear Muhammad. Angry crowds brandished swords and demanded her execution for defaming their prophet. She barely escaped back to England with her life. Meanwhile, the name of Jesus is defamed thousands of times every day through profanity and outright lies, and no one is massing in the city squares to demand that anyone be brought to trial. But more insidiously, Jesus is being reduced in rank these days to something manageable, someone with no supernatural characteristics, someone just like you or me. And that brings me to this question, Dr. Lutzer. Why did you partner with Tyndale House Publishers in writing your book, Slandering Jesus?
Well, the reason, Dave, is because, as you know, Jesus is front page news today. And it used to be that scholars would write articles about Jesus in journals. Today we have people who perhaps have come across an ossuary that they think actually housed the bones of Jesus, and suddenly it's on national television around the world. And so you have many misconceptions of Jesus that are out there. And of course you always have those who are attacking Jesus. I just want our listeners to think of it this way. When you see Jesus on the cover of Time magazine or Newsweek, and you buy the copy, what do you expect? What kind of a Jesus is going to be presented there? So the bottom line, Dave, is simply this. I wanted to lay before people six lies that are being told about Jesus and help them to understand these lies and to show that internally these lies are inconsistent and can't hold water, and therefore to bolster the faith of those of us who have trusted Christ as Savior, but also to challenge those who've never trusted Jesus to do so, to investigate the Christ of the New Testament.
Well, in your book, Erwin, beyond those six lies, before we get to those, you listed six presuppositions held by those who want to dethrone Jesus, to reinvent him, make him into a no-frills kind of Jesus. Perhaps you can comment briefly on each one of these. Here's number one. Jesus can be remade by taking one aspect of his teaching and presenting it as the heart and soul of his ministry.
Oh, yeah, this is done all the time, particularly in universities and elsewhere. Let me give you an example. There are those today who want to say that Jesus exalted women, which he did. So what you find is that feminists will hang on to that, and that therefore becomes their interpretation of Jesus. They say nothing about his death and resurrection. The main mission of Jesus is totally canceled because, after all, Jesus is one, you see, who exalted women, and that becomes the sum, the substance, and the heart of his teaching. Well, it's very unfair, and yet it's being done consistently today.
Another presupposition you listed was that the Jesus of history should be separated from the Christ of faith. Now, what does that mean?
Well, that means simply this. Throughout years, many years, scholars have wanted to take Jesus and divide him up. If you come to the New Testament believing that he is indeed a mere man, therefore what you need to do is to separate this mere man from all of his miracles and from all of his sayings where he claimed his divinity. And so you end up with Jesus on one side of the divide, Jesus the mere man, and on the other side of the divide is the Christ of faith. The Christ that the disciples proclaimed, the Christ that was made up by the disciples, because it is believed that they're the ones who added the miracles just for effect. So what you have is people coming to the New Testament with a razor, trying to separate Jesus the man from all of his miracles and divine sayings. And of course, as we'll notice in the days that we have this discussion, later on we're going to be discussing the Jesus Seminar and point out that that's what they are trying to do. And unfortunately, their enterprise is a huge failure.
How about this presupposition? History is subjective, and no one historical viewpoint is any better than any other.
I think that that view was really propounded by the Da Vinci Code. You know, in the Da Vinci Code, Dan Brown has Napoleon saying, "What is history but a fable agreed upon?" The whole idea is that history is like putty in your hand. It can be turned and made into whatever shape you want it. So it is believed that even though you go to the New Testament, which has a lot of historical information and good solid information, that all can be supplanted by views about Jesus that existed two or three centuries later, such as found among the Gnostics. So what you have today is this idea that we can't agree on anything in history. That, of course, also is false.
What about this one? All miracles are to be summarily dismissed as impossible because of the supposed consistency of natural law.
Oh, yes. We'll be noticing in this discussion that that's what the Jesus Seminar does. They approach the world with the belief that miracles are impossible. So just think about it. If you believe that miracles can't happen, and you come to the New Testament, well, you're going to take every miracle and you're going to discount it. You're going to separate it out, so to speak. And, of course, you end up with a non-supernatural Jesus. You have a Jesus who isn't divine. But if that's your presupposition, you know in advance the kind of Jesus that you're going to end up with. And we'll talk about that more later.
What about this one? Whatever is true is new.
Oh, yeah. All that you need to do is to find that there's been a Judas document discovered. And we're going to be talking about that. And as a result of that document, suddenly all of the portraits of the New Testament regarding Judas are discounted because we have a new view of Judas. And if it's new, it's true.
Now, a lot of people believe this one. All religions of the world are essentially the same.
Yes, I spent some time on this in my book because the idea today is to take Jesus, this no-frills Jesus, the designer Jesus, and put him on a continuum with other religious teachers and to point out that he is not unique at all. And we need to be able to answer that. And I hope that there are people who are listening today who realize that our intention is to help them to witness to their friends. Others who are listening have children in high school or college who need to be armed with resources to be able to answer these ideas that are floating around on the internet and are gaining so much play in our schools today.
Well, those are the presuppositions we had. Now let's go on to the actual lies that you list in your book, Slandering Jesus. And lie number one is that the bones of Jesus have indeed been found. James Cameron is famed as the director of the movie Titanic. Now, on March 4th, 2007, the Discovery Channel aired his production of The Lost Tomb of Jesus, claiming that Jesus' family tomb had been found. 10 small caskets had been unearthed in a Jerusalem suburb in 1980, one of which bore the title, Jesus, Son of Joseph. What do you make of all this?
Well, that's such a long story, and I know that that documentary received so much publicity in the press. But let's begin right there. What about the phrase that is on an ossuary, Jesus, Son of Joseph? Even that very phrase is debatable, because that ossuary, and by the way, an ossuary is a bone box. It's the place supposedly where the bones of Jesus were placed. That ossuary happens to be the graffiti ossuary. It's a mess. It's got all kinds of scrawling on it, including some Greek letters. And so even that is debatable. And then let's go on to the other person who supposedly is buried there, Mary Magdalene. There is an ossuary with the phrase, Miriamne e Mara. And it is said by that documentary of James Cameron's that this is a reference to Mary Magdalene, to whom Jesus was married. How do they know that Mariamne is Mary Magdalene? Well, they have to go to a 4th century document. And that document talks about a woman who spoke Greek, who was the sister of Philip, and she has the name Mariamne. And so based on that, they try to connect it with Mary Magdalene. Now, do you begin to see how shallow the evidence is becoming? And if we were to go down the list, you'd see that ultimately it's like sand through your fingers. But you know the way in which the reasoning of that documentary was, if it sounds like a duck, if it quacks like a duck, if it lays duck eggs and walks like a duck, then surely it must be a camel. That's the kind of thought process that goes into this. I know that we don't have time to go into all of the other details, but the whole issue of probability, could this be the tomb of Jesus? Well, there are 80 tombs and 20 ossuaries that have the name of Jesus on them. One out of every 20 men during the time of Jesus was named Jesus. So as you begin to go through this, 25% of the women were named Mary. That's why when this tomb was found in 1980, scholars saw some similarities in the names with the names of those who are in the New Testament, but they discounted it. And now this whole idea has been picked up and it became this very, very important documentary. The fact is that the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ is strong and powerful. And the whole idea that this tomb is the family tomb of Jesus simply does not make sense. I wish we could go into this in more detail and point out some of the presuppositions that James Cameron has. For example, he says that until now we didn't even know that Jesus existed because we had no fingerprints. Well, stop and think about that. Do we have fingerprints of Plato or Julius Caesar? Do we have a portrait drawn from real life? No. We don't have this for any historical figure. So what he has done is set up a situation in which all of the good evidence of Jesus Christ's death and resurrection and existence is totally discounted. And what they do is they go into the flimsy evidence that is presented so powerfully by means of television. But I need to say in conclusion that even those who were involved in the process, the DNA and other kinds of information that was used on that telecast, even some of them soon began to back away from the conclusions. And what we need to do is to affirm to people that the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ is strong and really historically incontrovertible.
Well, that's lie number one as the world today continues to slander Jesus. The concept of someone dying for the sins of another is hard to take by those who think I'm okay and you're okay. On Monday's Running to Win, we'll examine lie number two, that Jesus did not die on the cross at all. Thanks so much, Dr. Lutzer.
Thank you, Dave.
The lies being told about Jesus need to be answered, and they have been in Dr. Lutzer's book, Slandering Jesus. This Tyndale House book is must-reading for Christians who want to be able to give answers to those whose opinion of Jesus is being formed from the lies told in our culture. There's a copy of Slandering Jesus waiting for you. For your gift of any amount to Running to Win, you'll receive your personal copy of this crucial case for the real Jesus. Simply call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Or you can write to Running to Win, 1609 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Enclose a gift of any amount and tell us you'd like to receive Slandering Jesus. Online, go to runningtowin.org for full information on this book offer and on the many ministries of Moody Church. Don't forget, Running to Win is supported by listeners like you. This is Dave McAllister. Was Jesus really crucified? Don't miss Monday's Running to Win.